Can you describe a little bit how your childhood was?
Well, I was 7 years younger than my brother and living out in the country. There was nobody to play with, nobody for nothing. I was just almost a loner. And so therefore there wasn't too much to do other than when I got a little bit bigger, I could go and gather the eggs or play out in the yard or things like that. Much different than the children of today. And in the spring, I enjoyed going picking wildflowers or something like that, but there was no girls around even in the neighborhood or anything my age.
Could have been a tomboy.
Well, boys didn't want, they were all older, so they didn't want me around either.
So how was living on a farm different than it is today?
Much different, because there was no electricity, there was no refrigeration, and it was no automobiles. And when I went to school, when I started school to Dundee, I had to walk about 3 miles I started school when I was 7 years old in the first grade, and I had to walk about 3 miles to school.
I'd never make it.
I still always had to walk to school, even when we was down maybe and up to Azalea. That's the way you got to school. And before, when I went to Dundee School, it was not a 50, was not paved, it was a mud road. So you walked in the mud. And the schoolhouses were little one-room schoolhouses where the teacher went and built the fire before you got there in the wintertime. And there was no inside plumbing or anything. So
what were some of your chores that you did on the farm?
Well, I was only about 11, the oldest I was when I was on the farm. But gathering the eggs or little things like, always had to help with the dishes and stuff like that. But I didn't have much outside work to do because my brother did that.
What kind of machinery did they have?
No. Well, it was all horse-drawn. The plows, when the men plowed, they had to use horses and walk behind the plows and the discs the same way. There was no such thing as a tractor back when I was, that I know of, when I was younger. I don't think even when I was real little, I never even heard of an automobile. Hmm. Maybe there was some in cities, but
not at all. So getting back to school, what did you do in school? What did you learn?
Just reading and writing and arithmetic, and we learned, would open with prayer and singing, and there was no outside activities. It was strictly all just downright reading and writing and arithmetic and geography and so on and so forth.
How many years did you go?
To the ninth. And then when I got in the ninth grade, my mother became ill and she had boarders, and I had to quit school and go home and take care of my mother and the boarders. So that was the end of my schooling.
But all through ninth grade, you never learned anything more than reading and writing, arithmetic, and geography?
Well, yes, when I went to Christiancy, they had a cooking class that we had to walk from Christiancy down to Lincoln School for take that one class of cooking. But I guess the last year or so they had a little bit of gym, but not like they have now.
How'd you meet your husband?
At a dance.
Kind of a dance.
I was up to the moose. Well, at that time, the moose was on Front Street. Oh, I guess. No, it was between McComb and Washington on Front Street, and there was, every Saturday night they had dances up there. My girlfriend and I went up there to a dance. Which I shouldn't have, but I did.
Something to do, huh? If at all, how did the depression affect you?
Well, it really did, because we were married just before the depression, and Pat was born about that time, and there was no work. He had worked in Milan at the foundry before we were married, and then he had surgery, which there was no unions at the time, but he forced them to pay for his surgery because he had ruptured himself. But when he got able to go back to work, well, there was no job for him. And so it hit us very, very hard. We had new baby just starting out, no nothing. There was no welfare.
So what'd you do for food and stuff?
Well, he used to peddle handbills for the store, or just anything that he could do. And maybe the peddled some handbills, which they don't have those anymore either, for the theater, and then we could go to the show. Then they finally did get a little bit of welfare. I guess you'd call it welfare, but we got $2.50 a week. And that I was supposed to buy all of our groceries and what have you. And buy milk for the baby. And when I went and asked them for some panties for her, they told me no, I couldn't have them. I could take my diapers and make them. I didn't have any sewing machine, no nothing. How are you gonna? They were worn out by that time.
Yeah, probably worn for about 3 years by then.
And when we were living in the country with no refrigeration or anything, when in the summertime when you'd want to keep your milk or butter cool, you put it in a pail and on a rope and hung it down the well. Then when you went to get it, you went to the well and pulled on the rope, brought the pail up, got what you wanted out, and then you put it back.
I was talking to one of our neighbors, and he was talking about River Raisin didn't always run the way it did. You know, it ran farther into Michigan and Arbor. You know, it curved back.
I remember when the streetcar went from Toledo to Detroit.
Oh, really?
And the streetcar track went that right down. The station was where the Munch Building is, on the corner of First and Monroe Street there, which now law offices, I think, in there. But the streetcar track went right down Monroe Street to about where Broadway Market is, and then it turned and went east. And then it got down by Maple, and then it curved out and went north again. And that, it went right by, there was our house and then one other house, and then the streetcar track, and then it was all fields from there on out. It was not built up from where we lived there on Arbor out through like it is now at all. It was not built up at all. But I don't remember the River Raisin ever being any, I don't think it was ever any different than. But there also was, streetcar track went down Elm Avenue to the old piers, and where that was the big thing. There was a big boat flopping.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan O'Pierce.
Did you see when did M50 get paved?
Yeah, when we were still living there, it was paved. They paved that, and then they used, somewhere probably about 14, 15, 16, something along in there. But they used prison inmates to work on the road. I can just barely remember them.
You had to walk to school past them? Where'd they get all the prisoners from?
I was too little. I remember that they were, you know, that they used them for the prisons, but maybe Jackson, I don't know. As far back as I can remember, Jackson Prison has always been there. Maybe they were just out of the county. I really don't know for sure where they got them, but I do remember that they was prisoners' work. They made them work on the road.
What did you usually eat for supper and stuff like that? Just out of curiosity, you know how we all eat junk food and McDonald's?
No, there was no such thing as that. You got up in the morning and you had, in the wintertime, you had pancakes and eggs. We did. And always had a big breakfast. And then at noon you had a big dinner. And at night you had a big dinner again. Meat and potatoes and vegetables. And you ate what was put on your plate. There was no such thing as I don't like this or I don't like that. Because Mother didn't cook anything that wasn't fit to eat, so you ate it.
You remember how much things cost at all?
Very, very little.
Right.
Well, I can't tell you when I was really young. Well, didn't buy that much. Mother made all of her own butter. We had our own eggs, milk, and butter. And Dad always took the wheat to the mill and had the flour made. And he'd take the buckwheat and have the buckwheat flour made.
What would that make?
Pancakes.
Oh.
And my dad and my brother and neighbor men, they used to make maple syrup. And they grew sorghum and made molasses. So there was very, maybe tea and coffee and sugar and salt and stuff like that was really the biggest part of your groceries. You grew everything and canned it and ate what you had. But I do remember when, during the Depression, I never will forget, because I used to buy a pound of liver, which was 3 cents a pound, and fry one piece at a time for each of us until we ate that pound of liver.
I think I would have liked that too well. I think that would have been about time I would have said, I don't like this.
That is good for you.
No. Did you make all your own clothes?
No, my mother never. My grandmother made clothes for us as long as she lived. But my aunt was very good at making clothes. And she used to make my clothes, and quite a few of them. But my mother never could sew, and I never could either.
I can't either.
So, but we didn't have clothes like we have then either. You had your Sunday clothes and you had your school clothes and you had your everyday clothes and that was it.
Oh, would you just like have one dress for Sunday or maybe two or something?
One. Mm. You had one.
And you always, did you usually wear a dress, or did you usually wear?
Everybody wore a dress because that was not respectable for anybody. Well, they didn't know. Women wore big long dresses, you know. Men wore overalls. Men might have one suit that would last him for 25 years or so. No, we didn't have clothes, and we had one pair of good shoes, if we were lucky, and one pair of old shoes.
How did the women used to wear their hair?
It was all long.
All long?
There was no short hair. Everybody wore long hair, and either in braids or a knot on the back of their head.
Never wore it down? Did you ever help make, I'm thinking about this butter, did you ever make the, help make the butter? How would you do that?
We did separate the cream, the milk from the cream. We had a separator. And then you had to turn that, in that, you put the whole milk in there and you turn this separator. And the cream would come out one side and skim milk come out the other side. And then you take the cream and you churn it. And then it has to be about the right temperature, so on and so forth.
You churn it like one of the churners?
Well, our old churn was one that you went like it, so.
Up and down.
then you got your butter and your buttermilk from that. And then you saved it.
Did you drink the skim milk then?
I was raised on skim milk. I preferred it. My brother and I both preferred the skim milk to the whole milk. Although sometimes my dad would sell part of the milk, but then separate enough so we could have our butter. And then occasionally mother made butter and sold it. And then she raised chickens. Of course, I was too little to do it, but I can remember they raised chickens and ducks and geese. And then at the holidays, the neighbors would all get together, one place or the other, and then they would clean the chickens. And they'd all do it, and then they, you know, for the holidays, and they'd sell those. And occasionally in the wintertime, my dad would butcher a cow or pigs, and he'd sell part of the meat. Then the meat, instead of having freezers, naturally, we had to do something with it. They made their own sausage, and had to fry it down and put it in crocks, or else have a smokehouse and smoke the hams.
Oh,
that's okay. You could get something good out of this.
Yeah, I like those.
And when you washed on a washboard. You heated the water, you pumped the water from either the well or the cistern, if you were lucky enough to have a cistern, then you had soft water.
What's a cistern?
Well, that's what catches the soft water, so you could wash with it. Mm-hmm. And then you had to pump all that water and bring it in and put it in the tub on the wood burning stove and heat it. And then you had a washboard and then you washed your clothes.
And then you just hung them up to dry?
Hung them outside.
What would you do in the winter?
Hang them out and freeze your fingers.
Well, then they wouldn't get dry, would they?
They freeze stiff. They freeze dry.
Oh.
Sometimes you bring them in, they're stiff as a board, and then you have to hang them around in the house till they thawed out.
Well, it seems like when they thawed out, though, they'd be drippy.
No.
They were dry.
Well, they weren't dry, but they didn't drip.
Huh. What was downtown Monroe? I mean, how much of downtown Monroe was there?
Practically all that there is now. Mm-hmm. And the gas works used to be I used to be fascinated to come up West Front Street where the old gas works were, and you could look in there and see the fires of where they was making the gas in there. And then on the corner where that parking lot is on the front in Monroe Street, there used to be a place there where the people, when they sheared their sheep, they would take their wool there to and to sell it, you know.
Were any bridges there?
Yeah, Macomb Street Bridge was there, and Monroe Street. The Roscoe Street Bridge was built later on. But Monroe Street and Macomb Street Bridge, they were both old iron bridges, though. Hmm. They have been replaced with new ones, but the bridges were over the river. And the one down on Winchester.
Was were there any businesses that are still around today in town?
Jaeger's Shoe Store. And Martin's Shoe Store has been there for many, many years. In fact, Jack Martin had just passed away. He used to be our paper boy.
Oh.
His father had the store, and they lived on Arbor Dew, and he used to be our paper boy. Mm. Mm. And the telephone office, when I worked there, was then the KSC building, north side of Front Street, near Washington Street, and the telephone office was upstairs in the old KSC building, mm-hmm. and the business office was downstairs, and then the new telephone office over on Washington Street was built after I quit working there.
When you worked there, what type of thing, I mean, how did you work do? I mean, what did you do?
Well, I was a operator. Their switchboards then was much different. There was a lot of, well, they were out in front of you with a lot of pairs of cords on it. And then there was jacks up on the wall. Well, when anybody wanted to use the telephone way, a light would come on where you plugged in with a back cord. And then when you used the front cord to put it in the jack with the number they were calling, and then you could ring them.
Oh.
You said number please and thank you. And long distance was all done by hand too. I used to do local and long distance both, and then for a while I was an instructor, so I taught a couple of classes when I worked there, but it was very, very much different than it is now.
Did Mr. Stocking fight in World War II?
No. He was never in the service at all. He was too young for the
first one,
and
too
old for the second one.
Get that just right. So what made you decide to go to work at Mineral Auto Club?
Well, we were very much in debt. And I saw that because he was working at the Consolidated, and at very low wages, and there was a need for people to go to work, and we had a lot of bills, so I just went to work to get out of debt.
What did you make out of it? I mean,
they made shells. Well, I was making and when I was on the when I was on inspection, it was shell casings. And then when I was on the precision grinders, we made a part for the door on the airplane. But then after the war was over, I quit and stayed home and had Darlene.
Did you always go to church?
Well, my parents were Methodists, and when I was little, we went occasionally when they could, when I don't remember whether we went at all while we lived on it, maybe. But when we lived up at Azalea, yes, I went to the Azalea Methodist Church whenever I could get there. But then when we came to Monroe, I started where I could walk. I went to the Methodist Church here, and the girls that I were in school with were very, very rude to me. I can understand why, because I was a little farm girl and I looked like one, and I was as big around as I was tall. And I just didn't like it there at all, so I wasn't going to go anymore. And a girl that was in school with me asked me if I would like to go to Sunday school with her. And so I went to the Baptist Sunday school with her, and there I have been ever since.
And that was?
In 23, 24, something like that.
And the church was located on?
Washington.
Whereabouts in Washington?
Oh, right there. Between 2nd and 3rd on Washington. Where they built that correctional, the police business, you know, whatever they call it.
Oh, yeah.
That was the parking lot across the street. And where the telephone office building is now, that was a Masonic temple back then. And then there was a church, and then there was a Sterling home next door, which was later turned into a funeral home. That's where Bennett, in fact, that's where Dick was working when I first met Dick.
Oh.
Right next door to the church.
Besides going to your dances on Saturday night, what else did you do for entertainment? Even when you were younger, you wouldn't?
There was, well, the farmers would get together once in a while and they'd play progressive euchre or Pedro or something like that, but it was the families that got together, you know. But no, there was nothing for entertainment for little kids to do, just nothing. Mm-hmm. So I could either sew carpet rags or...
you couldn't sew.
Well, that's... Did you ever sew carpet rags?
No. What would you make out of carpet rags?
You would braid or have your rugs and carpet rugs made out of.
Where would you get these rags?
Your old clothes.
Oh.
You tear up your old clothes and make rags and your old sheets, and when you couldn't patch them anymore, you tore them up. You talk about recycling. They used to recycle everything. I can't understand. Kids nowadays have got to have something to do. They have to be entertained every minute. They can't think of anything to do for themselves.
I don't know. Well, they don't have as much to do either. I mean, everybody's so thrown in together. I mean, you really can't go out and play. I mean, unless you play in the street. I mean, where would you play?
Well, when we lived over on Arbor, we used to get out at night, in the evening maybe, and play hide and seek or tin can Ricky.
How would you play tin can Ricky?
Kick a tin can around in the street.
Oh,
But I never had anybody to play with until I was, and then by the time I was 13 or 14, you just don't do things like that anymore, I guess.
Were you, how did you feel about getting into the war, when the United States got into the war? What did you think about that?
Well, I don't remember that I had, I know for a while I was afraid that he was going to have to go. But I guess it was, you just didn't have any feelings that what was, and you just went along with it. They didn't oppose everything like they do now.
Dude, were a lot of people in Monroe hard up for money and stuff?
Oh, yes. Everybody was.
Were there any bread lines? No bread lines.
No, there was. There wasn't the handouts then that there is now, I'll tell you. Hmm. No, I think the only way we existed at all was during the Depression was that, well, my brother was working and my folks had come on Sunday and they'd bring the dinner already cooked and then there was always enough to help out for a day or so afterwards. And his brother and, or his sister and her husband had come from Detroit once in a while and they'd do the same thing. And for the first two or three snowsuits that Pat had to have, I know that his sister bought her snowsuits for her. And one time the neighbor had some cherries and she didn't know enough to can them. She didn't want them. And I traded her a wash tub for the cherries. And my mother had given me cans, but I didn't have any rings. I didn't have any sugar. So I called my aunt and asked her if I could borrow some money for some sugar till my mother and dad came. And she wanted to know if Robert was busy, and I said no, and she said, will you tell him to come over and wash the windows for me, and I'll buy your sugar for you. So he went and washed the windows, got the sugar and the can tops, and I canned the cherries.
Well,
there's lots of ways to do things if you really get down and have to do things.
Yeah. People would exchange things more now than they would
now. Yeah, and I know that several times that, well, maybe I wouldn't have enough for a meal and one of the neighbors wouldn't have enough for a meal. We put it together, that way we could fix a meal.
Mm. That's a good idea.
Yeah. But I didn't have all that interesting a life, I don't think. But it was just simply, that's the way you grew up on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
Well. Think of anything else that I...
How did you used to celebrate your holidays, like Christmas and stuff? What did you get?
Well, if my aunt and uncle came from Sandusky, Ohio, they usually, one time I got a doll, and one time I got a bowl for my cereal that had a bunny rabbit in the bottom.
You usually only got one gift, though.
Yes. And my little table, well, I got some little tin dishes, and my dad took a wooden box and put some legs on it, and that made me a table. And I did have a little doll buggy, but you just got one gift. One thing was about all you get, and it wasn't very big either.
How many kids were in your family?
just the two of us, my brother and I. He was 7 years older than I.
Surprising, most people back then had larger families.
Well, it was just the two of us.
Were there very many blacks in the county then?
No.
Did you go to school with them?
No, I never did. In fact, the first black that I really knew was an older man that lived over in a little shack over between Arbor and Maple, and there was a cement block factory over there, and he used to work for the Branshaw that had the cement block factory, and he used to stay over there in this little shack. His name was Mr. Parker. He was a real nice old man, but a lot of the kids would go over and talk to him. He was really nice, but we never ever saw him, that man, do anything that was out of the way, you know. Mm-hmm. Very polite, nice old man. But he was really the first black that, and I never went. There was never any that went to the country schools or Dundee or Christiansey. And I don't remember any, even when I went to, when I was in the ninth grade, I went over on third, which was Old Boyd School, and that's been torn down where that vacant lot is on the corner of Third and Cass there now. I walked from Arbor there to school, and I walked home for my lunch hour and back, and then back home.
Do you remember if there was like any discriminatory attitudes or anything?
Never heard tell of such a thing. I am, in fact, I think the first really of anything that I ever thought about even, I think, was when, I don't remember, I guess it was probably Reverend Babian was here, and they invited the Second Baptist come to, up to our First Baptist for Bible school. And some of the children got kind of rough. And Darlene came home. She wasn't going back anymore because those children were so rough. And I sat her down and I told her they were all God's children and that she would have to get along with them. And I was quite sure that if she was nice to them, they would be nice to her. But I don't remember ever having any conflict at all. I know she got a little bit upset because they were a little bit rougher than what she said. But she found fault with some of our own children too. So I didn't figure that it was that it was the race that made any difference. But and so therefore she's not any more prejudiced than I am. Because I feel that by the grace of God, we are white. And they are God's children the same as we are, so. In this, I can find very many white people that are very offensive as well as the blacks, so.
Did you find marrying out of religious faith to be a big thing? You know, like a Baptist marrying a Catholic or something.
Oh, yes.
What was your husband?
He really wasn't. he had gone to the Baptist church and he had gone to the Methodist church, but really he hadn't gone all that much. He really was nothing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But he eventually was saved, and which I'm very grateful for. But, yes, back when I can remember, it didn't really happen in our family, but I do know of a family that I remember my parents talking about, that she was Catholic and he was Lutheran, and there was a lot of controversy over that, and then they lost their little baby boy. And she wanted him buried in the he wanted him buried in the Lutheran cemetery, and the priest wouldn't go in the Lutheran cemetery with them. Oh yes, that has always, that used to be much more than it is nowadays, I think. But I do think it still exists to a certain. But I know when Pat married, that Robert's one sister was very opposed to her turning Catholic. But I signed for her if she was going to marry a Catholic, and she had to raise her children Catholic. That's the way it would have to be. Because you can't live somebody else's life for them. It wasn't what I would have liked, but it makes no difference to us now, because if I want to go with her, I go, and if she wants to come with me, they come, and my grandkids do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But even in Doug's family, there was, his mother's Lutheran, his father's Catholic, and they were both very upset when he joined the Baptist church. Not that they caused any trouble, but I know his father said, well, he guessed all of his kids was leaving him. But because the older daughter had been raised a Catholic, but she left and joined the Presbyterian church. But when Doug was growing up, he couldn't go to church with his mother because his father wouldn't let him. And he couldn't go with his father because his mother wouldn't let him. So after he started going with Darlene, then he started coming, whether she was there or not, but he'd come and sit with me. So it doesn't, now that it's all over with, why, it doesn't make any difference, but at the time there was nothing ever said, but I think they felt bad, you know.
Well, is there anything else you can think of?
No, other than less that you would like to know that my grandfather, Mason, was in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And he, before, he was a very good friend of Custer and Libby Bacon before they were married.
Mm. Did he lived here?
And he was in Andersonville prison.
Mm.
He had quite some experiences there. But, and he lived, of course I was quite small, but he did live to be 94 years old. But I wasn't around him all that much afterwards. But I do know that, and what he says about Custer wasn't like some of the tales you hear now either.
Yeah, what would he say about him?
Well, he seemed to think he was all right. Did all right, but he wasn't with him all the time, but he did know him, you know.